Hello, this is Nikita Kalam Harris, In Motion Coach, where we cultivate the full potential of creative minds through acting coaching, through career coaching, so that you might shine on stage. But today, we're going to be talking specifically about character development. And I was trained in the Stanislavski method, also known as the method of physical action. And it's a popular acting technique that emphasizes the use of physical actions and emotional memory, just to create authentic and realistic characters. It's all about believable behavior on stage or on camera. So here are some of the tips on character development that can be, you know, derived from the Stanislavski method that I wanted to share today. One is create a detailed backstory for your character. So this includes information about their upbringing, their relationships, their goals, their fears, their desires. Knowing your character's history will help you better understand their motivation and their behaviors. Now, of course, you're going to get information from the script itself that will tell you about the character, but the character has a whole life, a whole rich history before they even appear on page one of your script. And so you want to be living and breathing with that. While you're doing your homework for your character. Number two, you want to use emotional memory to connect with your character's emotions. Now, this will take probably some coaching to really get a gist of what it's all about. But you want to think about a time in your own life when you experienced a similar emotion to what your character is feeling. And you want to use these memories to help you connect with that character's emotional state. So for instance, if it's a scene, for instance, where you have to cry or there's a devastating moment. Like for me, my mother passed in 2018, so it's still pretty fresh for me, an emotion to tap into. So in my homework, so not like on stage or like on set, but during my homework, I know that at a specific point, I might want to work on the day in the hospital, right? So it took maybe 3 or 4 days in the hospital of going back and forth. And then the last day I went there for just a normal, you know, checking in and seeing if she was about to go on dialysis, and they had to stop dialysis real quick. And doctors came in and saying that her toxic levels were super high and that she was indeed dying. News that I never thought that I would hear. And from that moment, which was in the morning, till the early morning of the next day, I watched my mom, along with friends and family, go through a full dying spectrum, from code blues to her heart beating again, from actually seeing them do CPR and then the beeping machine comes back on again, to walking over to her when the doctor called it, seeing no more tears, no more tear ducts in her eyes. They were completely dry, and she was staring up. And the whole time, because they had put her on a feeding tube and a ventilator, so her eyes were closed because she was in a induced coma state, but her eyes were wide open, completely dry, and staring in the ceiling. And they were saying that you can see in her eyes that she's gone. And so all I have to do is remember the smells, the sounds, her eyes. There was one point where she started to become cold, so holding her hands when the machine was still, you know, beating, and I hear the ding ding dings from going to there's silence, disbelief, and then this agonizing pain and rip of the heart that I've never ever felt ever in life. My uncle calls it the second umbilical cord cutting, and my eyes are just tearing up thinking about it right now. And so as I'm physically and sensorially going through all those things, I would then, while still breathing, go to the scene that I'm working on And if it's a scene where I have to emote some kind of deep kind of grief, I'm kind of right there. And then I would just start with the scene. So this is stuff that you would do at home to see, you know, what brings up something. I had to kind of shake it off. What's close and dear to you, and you would use that in different circumstances. So another one would be develop a strong sense of imagination, the ability to imagine a situation or scenario as it were real can help you better embody your character and make their actions and reactions more authentic. Sometimes the script is enough. Sometimes you don't have to go into your tool belt and pull out a bunch of things to bring up certain circumstances. Sometimes the imagination of the what if of the situation is enough for you to be in the moment to moment. Another one is to use your physical actions to help create your character. So this includes understanding your character's physical movements and gestures and how they use their body to express themselves. What's their walk? What's their tempo? Is it a hunchback? Is it a sit up straight because they were in ballet all their life? Is it a kind of like lazy, just don't even feel like checking in with the physical gait walking through life versus like a highly angst person who's like super speedy and all their movements are jerky and speedy and you just want them to kind of relax. But all that physicality informs a character. Always remain in the present moment. This means staying present and engaged in the scene. So in life, a lot of times when people are speaking, we're often responding in our head and just waiting for our turn to butt in and speak because of maybe some point they made like 5 minutes ago. So we kind of stopped listening to the whole 5 minutes because of that moment a while back that we want to like figure out a way to butt in to discuss. But in scenes, you want to take in everything that the person is saying. You don't want to wait for your turn to talk. You want to just fully listen and be present with your scene partner. I even say taking in breath as the person is speaking. A lot of times, especially in my earlier years in grad school, one of my professors said, remember to breathe. You're like, you stop breathing after you talk. Like, and you're like not breathing in that person who's talking to you in that scene. So the breath becomes very important in your acting work. And just practice if you're in a scene with somebody, when you're, well, of course you're breathing when you're talking, but when you're not talking, practice in just taking in some deep breaths and listening, active listening, when your scene partner is talking to you. And then wait for them to fully finish before you start yours. Now, this is just an exercise. You probably wouldn't do that in the scene. But as an exercise, try that, you and your partner, taking in big, deep breaths with your mouth slightly open and just breathing in what the other person is saying, actively listening, not worrying about your line until they have completely stopped, and then say your line and back and forth as an exercise. Okay, so then you want to develop a physical life. So another important aspect of the Stanislavski method is developing a physical life to your character. So this involves thinking about your character's moves, how the person speaks, interacts with their environment. And by developing a physical life, you can create a more fully realized and authentic character. So we talked about kind of tempo and everything, right? But that even goes to how does your character speak? Is it a higher pitched voice because they're like from a different place? Do they like have an accent or withdrawal or something like that that's like kind of informing where they are? Or is it that they just, you know, like can like just barely open their mouth and everything is kind of like glottal and in the back of their throat and that's just how they talk? Or is it just your regular speech, but it's like really sped up because they're just like high angst and they just don't know what to do. And so everything that comes out is whatever. So that when they get to a moment of vulnerability, maybe they start to slow down and it's really out of character. So the audience is like jarred because they're coming out of that angst that they're used to hearing. And it's like, oh, something's going on. So there's all different kind of things that can indicate to the audience in your behavior and in your being of your character that's letting them know what's happening in the story. rehearsing with others. Ding, 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 ding. Rehearsing with other actors. So the Stanislavski method emphasizes the importance of ensemble work and collaboration, right? So rehearsing with other actors can help you develop your character and create a more nuanced performance. You know, by working together, you can explore different interpretations of the script and you can discover new insights about your character. I love a rehearsal. The more prepared I feel, the more I can just play when shooting comes or when stage time comes or when, you know, when tech comes. But if I'm still worried about different things, then I'm not going to be fully happy camper going into like opening or whatever. So rehearsal is always great. Another one is to identify the character's objective. So the character's objective is the main goal or motivation, right? It's important to understand what the character wants as it drives their actions and their decisions throughout the script. So there's an overarching objective just in general, what the character wants in the piece, but then there's little objectives in your scenes that you can break down by beats. But that's something we would talk about as we would dive deeper in a one-on-one coaching. But you can break your scene down into beats, and there's different thought processes that your character goes through that's evident in the language and the dialogue between your other actor that you're wanting. You're trying a new tactic to get what the overarching objective is, right? So in the beginning, maybe you're trying to prude and prod, and then you might realize that's not working. So then you try to finesse and caress, still with that same overarching objective, but you just go about it in different ways throughout the scene. You're constantly working to get your objective from the other character, right? And you try all these different kind of tactics till the end of the scene, right? So that's kind of what that is. And then you want to explore the character's obstacles. So there's what obstacles and things that prevent the character from achieving their objective, right? So those are what the obstacles are. But understanding the obstacles can help you understand the character's strengths and weaknesses, as well as their strategies for overcoming challenges. So as you're reading scene by scene by scene, you'll start to notice trends in good writing of how the character's dialogue is reacting to certain things, or what things are hindering the character from getting their objective. So you want to be aware of the strengths and weaknesses of the character. And this can also be evident if it matches with what's going on in the script with your backstory. You can use what you're gaining from the script to inform what the full rich history of the backstory is. And then lastly, just for today, is use your personal experience to inform the character. One of Stanislavski's key principles was using personal experience to inform the character's emotions and actions. So by drawing on your own experiences, sometimes we call this substitution. Say you're in a scene with someone in life that you're just not vibing with. So you might want to put a substitution of my husband on that scene partner, because we're supposed to be this lovey-dovey couple, and in real life, not feeling this person too much. So I'm going to put a substitution on that person so that I get all the juicy, lovey-dovey, you know, cortisone, all the stuff that I feel about my husband in real life. I can have that be very present in the scene, in the you know, exchange with this person that I'm supposed to love, that maybe in real life I'm not feeling too much, or maybe it's something that you haven't felt before, like maybe it's a baby or something like that, and so you've never had that kind of feeling, but you've had your dog since you were two, and now you're 30 or now you're 20, so you know what it is to take care of something outside of yourself and have them love you back, and you love them and care, like if something happened to them or if they got hurt. So you might want to substitute something that you in your life have experienced and can put on to the experience that maybe you haven't experienced in the scene. But I hope that was helpful. A lot of those can be, you know, a full hour you know, one-on-one coaching on their own. But that was just kind of an overview of different things to think about in your character development journey on TV, on film, on stage, wherever. These are good in general tips for character development. All right. See you next time.